Charge Authority Board meeting for Monday, June 3rd.
How did you get in?
May I have a roll call, please?
Supervisor Friend.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Councilmember Reed.
He's present. He's stepped away.
Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Citizen English.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Good.
Here.
Hi, thank you. Supervisor Reed has joined us. Councilmember Reed, excuse me. It is item number 2, approval of the agenda for June 3rd. May I have a motion?
Do you want to add the report out to closed session?
I'll be including a report out to closed session just after item number 10. Okay.
So move the minutes. Agenda.
Motion by Supervisor McPherson, second by Councilmember Matthews. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay. Item number 3, oral communications. Is there anyone, member of the public, who'd like to speak before the board for an item that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to item number 4. Presentation regarding our local history roadshow, Janice O'Driscoll.
All right.
Thank you for coming. I know you had to travel from Castroville.
Yeah. I'm going to stand over here so I don't have my back to some people. I just want to talk to you about a project, actually, that David has initiated based on some presentations that he saw the staff do earlier in the year. Deborah LaPoma did a presentation on the local history of Fayal's collection, and then Linda Gall did a presentation on Scotts Valley photography collection. David got the idea that this would be a good service for the library to begin, and we call it the Local History Roadshow. Cynthia is on the committee. We have representatives from the UCSC Library. We have representatives from the Museum of Art and History. And it's a wonderful collaboration. The idea of it is a lot like the Local History Roadshow. People who have photo albums that they have changed, that they have had for many years, can bring them in and have them scanned. We can give them back, along with their photos, a digital copy of their photos, and then the library also has them for their collection. And that is a very simple thing to say, but it is a very detailed thing to pull off. So we are still in the beginning stages of that project. What we have to figure out is, what information do we need about each of these photos? How long does it take to do it? How many photos at any one time should someone do? We have Deborah LaPoma from the library staff who's working on the details of what the information is that we need to collect. So we want to test this out and see how long will it take to do this, what staff is required, how many volunteers do we need. So we're going to pilot test it in 4 areas of the county. The idea being, when we learn from that, we will be able to periodically do this in all the regions in the county. So we're going to do it. One of the sites is going to be the Live Oak Branch. Because we've decided to do it on Saturday afternoons, and the Live Oak Branch is closed on Saturday, so we would have the use of the building for Saturday, so that will work. The Museum of Art and History will be the last site that we do downtown, because they have facilities to accommodate us. We're looking for a site in the Valley, and we're going to work with the San Lorenzo Valley Historical Association to find the best site in the Valley. And then in Aptos, we're hoping it can be at Cabrillo, but we need to figure that out too. We will have a local regional person who will be, who knows the area, who will work with us in each roadshow in each area. UCSC is helping us out by recommending a scanner. We're going to buy probably about 3 scanners stable and solid enough to be transported, because we're going to be taking them in and out of vehicles and taking them to different regions. They have to be able to withstand that. UCSC is also helping us with the way to set up how to do this. There'll be intake people who take the information about the albums. Then there'll be another group of people who are the scanning team who scan them in. And they have done this before, so they're going to help us figure that piece out. The museum is also working with Deborah Wakoma and in being sure that we have recorded all the information we need about any particular photograph. This is a very highly used portion of our website already. It gets some of the most hits of any part of our website, the local history request. People are doing research, want to know about where they live. There are people who are writing books or designing apps that use photographs from the library in their work. There are, when it's for profit, there's a higher charge than for nonprofit. So it is a fairly frequent use of the library collection. And I don't know, maybe Cynthia and David might have something else that you want to add to that. I'm very excited about the possibility of doing this and adding this service.
Great. Yeah, I would say we've had two meetings already, and I think they've been really contributory from the museum as well as the university. They're all very excited about partnering with the library on this. And I think one of the things I'm very excited about is the ability to gain from the university. They already have licensing agreements that they've established as far as how we are able to obtain this information and integrate it into our existing databases or catalogs of local history information. So I think it'll be good for us to share.
It's a nice partnership. We're already exchanging information. We're looking at, we hope to pull this off right now, at least our timeline is September through into the first part of December, but that's not solid yet.
Cynthia, did you want to
comment? Oh, it's just the beauty UCSC having done it, we're not inventing the wheel. And
I know.
We're thrilled
we get to work with them. It's great.
Yeah, they did their dry run for their 50th anniversary alumni weekend. They had people from early classes bringing their stuff. So. And honestly, I mean, I've done this for years. In the olden days, the coffee stand and film, copying stuff out of people's scrapbooks. But we're in the digital age.
Perfect.
We can all share it.
Exactly. After the earthquake, a lot of people came to us and donated their photographs and other items, actually, so that we would have a record of it. And we didn't even start out soliciting it, but they thought of us as a natural place to have them, too.
So there'll probably be something coming forward once we've identified.
As soon as we have the dates.
Yeah. So it'll probably be at a later council or a board meeting that we'll have a little bit more detail as far as the timeline and some of the budget requirements.
And then once we have it all worked out, then we can go to La Selva, go to Capitola, or go wherever we need to go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, before we continue, the sun is bothering you guys. You're on wheels. If you want to pull the tables forward a little bit, I just look at you sitting with the sun, but if you're okay.
Well, if someone can move over where Mark is sitting.
Yeah.
Do you want to move that way?
No, I think the sun's
moving this way.
I don't know where the. You're not plugged in, so.
All volunteers take one step forward.
Sorry, I just.
No. Looking out for them.
I got some light room now.
So the next item on the agenda is item number 5, the staff recognition.
Yes, and it does not look like any of the staff that have been nominated are here tonight. Missing somebody. I just wanted to make one note on this. There are several substitutes and library aides who've been nominated, and I just think that's kind of an indication of how integral these staff have become to our operation. So Benjamin Noakes, Catherine Madsen, Marjorie Keppel, Janie Tibbles, they're all 3 of them are on-call librarians. I just thought that was interesting. And nice to see that that's how staff's thinking.
Can I say, I'm on that committee, and I have been actually thrilled with the variety of staff members who actually write the nominations. I mean, it's not just admin staff or librarians or, I mean, everybody on the staff is writing nominations, and the nominations are across the board as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great to recognize all the employees, and please pass along our thanks. I thought it was really interesting that, you know, that Leslie Auerbach immediately recognized the connection between ukuleles, the International Space
Station. Isn't it obvious?
But please pass along all of our thanks for all their work.
And thank you to the Friends for supporting this. Staff members get a gift card, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the next item are member reports. Are there any member reports to present? Dick?
Yeah, just briefly, the Finance Committee met the end of last month, I believe. And the primary focus there was to briefly talk about financial matters that were covered in depth at the meeting that we had right here a few weeks ago, and to begin a review of the creation of a charter or guidelines document for the Finance Subcommittee, just so there's some structure to what we're doing and some boundaries to what we're doing. And so Teresa was very kind to take a document from the city of Capitola and adapt it as a starting point for what we're going to be doing with our Subcommittee.
Okay, thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Any discussion on this? Second. Okay. Motion by Councilman Matthews, seconded by Vice Mayor Reed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Library.
That would be me. Hi, I'm Cindy Jackson from the La Selva Beach Friends. Just want to report on the spring book sale, which was a smashing success. Outside, we sort of changed it up a little bit, took it out of the Civic Center, and we made about $10,000. Which was great, and we also have two great new business sponsors, KLM Camps and Digital Dynamics. And I also want to thank Penny Ice Creamery, who gave away 200 scoops of ice cream during the book sale to people who spent more than $20 of books.
Great.
We also had a planning retreat for the directors and staff. And this Friday night, you all were invited from 6 to 8 to come to Brands of 40 for Wine in the Sacks. David's Swanger, the poet laureate of Santa Cruz County, will be there. And if you've never heard him, he's not only entertaining, but he's so interesting. It's an attempt for us to do some smaller fundraisers and kind of get away from the book sale idea. And if you can't make Friday night, then Saturday morning, I believe the Scotts Valley chapter is having a book sale.
10 to 4.
What time? 10 to 5, 10 to 4. So you come to La Selva Beach and learn how to make sandcastles for our second annual sandcastle building event. We still have some openings for that. And then this summer we are helping and supporting, as usual, the summer reading program. Any questions, anybody? Yes, ma'am.
I was curious, moving the book sale outside, obviously you didn't have to rent the Civic.
Correct. We had to rent the parking lot.
For the last time.
Oh, indeed.
Because as of July 1, the parking lot is no longer an enterprise fund. It was paid or something. So it moves into another category, so we'll be able to use it at no cost.
Anyway, and how did that work out compared to the others? And I know you're doing, book sales have evolved over time.
Correct. And I can't speak specifically about this, but it's my understanding that we were able to use the Civic Center tables, and so we didn't have to rent tables. We still had to get books from our storage unit to the sale, and we were very grateful to have a service fraternity sorority group from UCSC that did a lot of the legwork in terms of moving books, getting them on the table and getting them into the Goodwill truck when the day was over. Mm-hmm. So it was it was different, but we liked being outside. We got to piggyback off of the Greek festival across the street. And it was a beautiful day. It couldn't have been a nicer day. So there are a lot of things going on. It seemed to work really well.
The amount sounds like what a normal...
Yes, in terms of the revenues, yes, sorry.
The net was
very, very comparable. And it was, we didn't have 2 days of scheduling volunteers to do everything, because we just, instead of doing Friday night and Saturday, just did Saturday afternoon.
And it's just one day.
Yeah.
The biggest expense for the Friends on books is the storage, because they're having to pay for a storage unit. So if anyone knows of a free storage area, that would actually save about $8,000.
Yeah, that's been our goal for the last couple of years, is to find someplace else to have for free. It's a problem, I don't know if it's for Scotts Valley, but it's a problem for us too. We have books scattered in between our book sales in about 8 different garages. You know, everybody has a cubbyhole, so. But the Friends, the big Friends have a much bigger challenge.
Okay,
great.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to the staff reports.
I just want to make a comment on the monthly report. I was also working on creating a report I have to do to the Santa Cruz City Council on Monday, a week from today, on budget, and to the county at the end of the month. And I got to say, I got really frustrated because I just didn't have time. There was no room to highlight everything we're doing. And I just wanted to point out that most of it gets, we really try to get it all into the monthly report. So I realize that doesn't help for the jurisdictions you represent, but at least for you, I think it really gives you a good sense of the breadth of what we're doing. It's just always amazes me. I actually went to Janice and I said, Janice, we need to talk. We got to stop it. You know, there's no place to put all this. So it just really struck me when I was doing it. And the Noel King lecture that was mentioned in there, Lori King wants to partner with us more. She was a very, very successful event. She wants to look at doing more events with us, which is great because author events are just wonderful. She's a great resource in our community. Any questions on the monthly report? Okay, so the statistical report, we have a slightly different footnote. You have some numbers, but the footnotes changed a little bit. We did run the numbers the way we used to run them and filled it in. But we're still not certain that they are correct. So we're still working on determining the veracity of those numbers. But Jesse, I think, has some time now to work on that. She's been tied up with trying to get the RFP for the ILS on the street, which it is out there now. And I think she's having more time now to look at this. So, for what they're worth, they're there. I said I would try to get something, and it's there. I don't know how. Like I said, we can't vouch for the accuracy, and it's really hard to tell comparing because the numbers seem all over the place. So I thought maybe looking at them I could get a sense how off they might be, but I just can't. April financial snapshot. Should have made Marcus join us by Skype or something on the big screen. He's in Hawaii.
Oh.
I know. For 2 weeks. So this is the monthly financial report that he presented to the Finance Committee whenever we met recently. And bottom line is we're doing fine. We do have, what's not shown on here, some big expenses that are still coming here at the end of the year, all the computers that we bought. So it's not quite as positive as it, but it's still really good. I mean, we're not having any trouble at all. Dick asked a question earlier about why sales tax dropped so precipitously in April. Not sure, except that sales tax does represent, it doesn't, when you have the February figure, that's not February sales tax. That's about 3 months before, which would take us to probably about November. So February, maybe November, March is probably December, which is your Christmas season. So April is probably more like January. It runs, you know, several months behind. So that would be my guess, is why it's low. And it's still not low. It's still higher than it's been. And you heard the report. Those of you at the Library Financing Authority meeting, I know that some of you were there, even though if you're not on Library Financing Authority. And they are predicting about, I think, quite a bit more than what they predicted in January. So, so overall, it's doing well. So I can try to answer any questions, but if any member of the Finance Committee wants to attest to it, we're doing good.
Are there any questions regarding the informational items that are here?
I just have a brief question on the statistical reports, and I know that they mm-hmm. are what they are. There's been some exponential increases in circulation, like at the La Selva branch. Do you have it over the course of the last 6 or 8 months? And I understand that small number to a small number from a percentage standpoint is what it is. But it's still, it's consistent over 12 months. Do you have any sense of what is changing in that branch, since it's been sort of a unique branch for this organization for a while?
Cindy, you got any ideas?
Is it accurate?
We don't know that they're accurate.
Well, see, that's why I hesitate to say anything, because I don't know.
Well, I don't.
I mean, I'd like to think it's because of all the programs we're doing, but I not knowing whether or not it's real or not, I hate to.
Well, they're not outside of the realm of possibility, Cindy. That's why I asked.
My fervent hope is that they're accurate and that is true.
Well, I'm giving you full credit.
Thank you so much, Zach. I appreciate that.
So
good of you.
And the visitors are accurate, and the visitor numbers are up. I mean, they are consistently up. And the visitor, because they're not related to the system at all, they're related, unless Cindy's standing there going back in, you know, in and out the door to, you know, put the numbers up.
Jack up the figures, yeah.
You know, okay. Which is entirely possible.
That's right.
those numbers are consistently up, so with more people in, then, you know, the circulation would go up as well.
Cindy, a question. Is there a popular collection that's now circulating here?
Yes.
So that could have something to do with it?
Yes, I think that may have something to do with it, yes.
Yeah, so yes. It's current books that are popular that only circulate at La Selva Beach.
You have to walk in the
they're
door.
They're not library
to get
books.
So it's like a Lucky Day collection.
Right? They're not library materials.
And they're not tracked in the ILO.
They're not our materials. They're materials that are provided by members of the community.
We think that has been a big attraction, yes.
Yeah.
We think being able to walk in and get
it across the hall so people pick it up
has been a
big attraction. They have a special shelf they're not library materials, and individuals, do they check them out? Do they mark a cart? I mean,
yes, we're very low tech.
Oh, the old
it's a little honor system.
So they
total honor system.
They sign their names.
And we've had yes.
That would account for the visitors, but it would not be included in the circulation.
Wouldn't be counted in the circulation figure. And we have about 60% of them out at most of all the time. Pardon me?
Are they being displayed by subject or by Dewey?
No, it's just.
It's just there.
Maybe we could. For this one, maybe if there's any additional questions. Teresa probably can answer any questions on this, the circulation of the cellular. But maybe we can go to the action items if there's no other questions on the informational reports.
So, the tech plan, I will entertain questions. I'll just make a couple of quick comments. There's three stages that I think are really important. You know, the first stage to extinguish fires and meet urgent needs, build capacity and systems and staff, and transition to visionary applications of technology. And I think this really helps give staff a roadmap of what they should be focusing on first. And so that's really helpful to us. The recommendations on page 27 of the packet are already underway. ILS, the RFP is on the streets. It's due back July 3rd, 2 p.m. You want to be there for the opening of the bids, of the proposals. They're not bids, they're proposals. So we're starting on many of those. And just a comment on the next level report, which is part of the larger city report. And I would just summarize their recommendations in looking at the library and the city is to recommend coordination and cooperation where it's mutually beneficial, cost-effective, and where it will improve service levels or efficiency or effectiveness. That's kind of the theme of things for us to look at, and I think Chris is here. I think as we move forward, when we have our technical manager in, whatever we're going to call that person, that would be something for them to take a look at, work closely with Chris, and determine are there some places where we can benefit each other and save each other some money, while we're staying effective and efficient. So with that, any questions?
Are we just receiving this report? We're not necessarily approving.
Yes, you're just accepting the report. Yeah.
I have a couple of questions. They're talking about the fiber upgrade to all branches by July, mm-hmm. end of July this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real?
Yes. AT&T is doing it. It's E-rate, part of the federal E-rate program.
Right.
The subsidy.
But they'll be complete by the end of July.
Yes.
Into the branches.
Yes. Some of the branches already were done. The branches that are being done are being done right now.
Boulder Creek and Scotts Valley, the fiber is in but not connected.
So Boulder Creek and Scotts Valley, the fiber is in but not connected yet. And then Garfield Park.
Capitola's next.
And Garfield Park, we got the easement from the City Council, approved the easement at their last meeting. We had to have an easement. Some places we had to have easements, others we didn't. And then Felton.
Felton. More out there.
Yeah, AT&T was under contract to get it. As soon as E-rate did get approved until somewhere around December, and then they had X number of months to get it installed. So, yes, it would be.
I firmly believe they were under contract. I was just questioning their actual delivery.
Yeah. I cannot say I blame you, but they're moving forward. Some of the delay has been, you know, on our part in working through stuff.
On page 9 of the Carson Block report, there's an org chart for the IT department, and I'm just not understanding where the IT manager is sitting with regard to
this. In the
this.
Box that says information technology.
Right, but it seems like he or she is down at the bottom and doesn't really have a department. It's just another direct report to system services. And I'm just questioning that concept. And maybe
actually,
I'm just not reading it correctly.
No, you're reading it correctly. It's basically an... This is representing what we currently have, and the position is a network administrator. But in actuality, the new plan, he or she should be moved up here. They would be in charge of all everybody below them.
Wonderful. Yeah. And my last question is the most startling thing in here, and it garnered two sentences, is that our colo facility in Cruzio is running our servers at 97 degrees.
Yes.
What in the world is going on?
That's our question.
And I think that
we asked that question.
Cruzio,
yeah, we're
ASAP.
We're
working on that. Yeah, there hasn't been a problem recently.
Great. Because I mean, the technology is allowing servers to live at a more comfortable temperature, but that's not what we're coming.
No, it's not. But yeah, we have been working with them for a while on
Wonderful.
This. I mean, some of this report was written back in February.
Good. Thanks. That's all I have.
Good catch on the chart.
Any other questions regarding the technology report?
Yes. There was a number that startled me, and there was a table that I'm trying to find here that talked about the computers and how they're distributed throughout.
Page 10.
Like 162
yes.
staff computers?
Yes.
And there's how many staff?
That includes the public service
desks. Public service desks.
Okay.
And anything more that they're checking in or checking out in the back.
So that's
one-on-one.
Yeah. So you don't have four on each desk.
No. Well, I have six.
We don't have 160 staff.
No, we have 80-something staff. But yeah, she's right. Every public service desk and every non-public computer, which includes an awful lot.
And there was another, there's a table towards the end of his report. Again, I'm struggling with finding it. It talked about patron technology. It's on page 95, page 25 of his report, Objective 2, Patron Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as a bunch of qualitative suggestions, and kind of like throws the ball back to you all and say, well, evaluate and upgrade meeting room technology.
Mm-hmm.
Explore this and look into that. It didn't seem like there's a lot of guidance in terms of, you know, what kinds of ratios you ought to be thinking about trying to achieve, or what level of technology you ought to be looking at, whether you ought to bring in Windows 8 or stay away from it.
We did not ask for that kind of granular recommendation, because this is a plan, you know, it's a 5-year plan, it's going to change, I mean, every day in terms of technology and what's the current, you know, technology du jour. So it's basically what they're saying is to meeting room technology that we have is not adequate, we know that. And so the city went through a big project upgrading their meeting room technology, so we kind of have a model. Mike can speak to it, he was involved in that project. So in that sense, we already kind of know where we need to go. So we didn't need him to tell us that. It was really more, it's a higher level plan. The actual implementation of it, the real specifics, are
up to you.
Are up to us, and that's why the position of the technology manager is so important, and that person working with Chris, so that situations that come up, like with the meeting room upgrade, that we can take advantage of the city's their buying power on that, or if there's something we do that they can take advantage of, that's where we need to go. we do feel this gives us enough of a blueprint. Where we wanted specific things answered, we got them answered, like the new ILS, you know. Should we go to a new ILS or not? That was not something that we originally knew was a question, but when we got into it, he helped through the process of making that decision. We made it earlier than the plan, but he was absolutely invaluable in helping us get there and deciding on that. And there's some other technical things in here, too, that I think he did give some guidance that it's kind of hidden, but we have the direction we need.
Councilmember Turner. I was really pleased to see the recommendation to collaborate with the city and to try and utilize their systems to assist us and find cost savings. And I might go a step further because they didn't really address it particularly, and that is we do a lot of handwork in the maintaining and just servicing of 163 desktops, as well as the new patron units. And I think that that's an area that we can really utilize the services of the city of Santa Cruz because they have boots on the ground right now doing that same thing all day long. And it seems like two organizations across the street from each other should not necessarily be going through the same motions with the same hardware.
And that's part of the recommendation of looking to where we can cooperate and coordinate. And
I did see some things with regard to some of their systems, their software systems, and that I'm ignorant of. So that would be something the library and the city IT may have to get together.
Councilmember Matthews?
You done?
All done.
Now this one's getting in the slide.
Again.
Yeah, our turn will come. This is general, just looking through this. It seemed to me that as we do the migrations, this, that, and the other, and there's just going to be a lot of change going on. Inevitably have hiccups and be frustrating for staff. And so I think it would be good to also be thinking about some kind of communication to particularly the patrons. It would be the technological equivalent of Pardon Our Dust. You know, you can be much more forgiving if the person at Starbucks says trainee. You know, they cut them a lot of slack, and the same thing. You know, we're upgrading systems to serve you better. Please bear with us, blah, blah, blah. But I think during all of this, there may well be a need to just let people know. In the end, it'll be better.
I believe
we're working with the marketing group.
Oh, good.
On that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't mentioned in here. So.
No. Yeah. It's something, yeah, the training and the information to the public is very important.
Okay. Any members of the public you'd like to speak to this item? Bringing it back, I'd like to comment that I like the fact that not only the library staff but also the consultant really met with a cross section of our library users, not only board members but also members of the public, staff, and you know there's a lot of overlap in some of the comments, and I know we've talked about it at prior board meetings. It's like I think our website is our 11th branch in terms of the amount of people that use our website as a tool to access library services. And the more we can build services onto our website, I think the more we can better serve the community at a really low cost. And so I like to see that recommendation not only from the trustees, but also community members in the focus group, as well as library staff. So, and I saw that one of those recommendations was relatively low cost. And it's not so much, you know, that we're redesigning this site, but how we can make it information a little bit more intuitive to get to. So we've got a lot of great content on there, but how do we make it easier for people to access it?
Well, we'll say that Anne has been working on that, and she actually, I saw a preview, was it yesterday, last week? I saw a preview very recently. Must have been last week, because yesterday was Sunday. I saw a preview last week of what she's working on, and she's doing exactly that. So that is the direction we're moving.
Great. We finished the public comment. I don't know if you did have a comment that you want to make a quick one.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place, but my understanding is on public computers you're allowed 1 hour time limit on it. Many other libraries, such as Campbell, Saratoga, Pelham, and so forth, have a deal that if no one else is using it, you get a second hour, a half hour, and so forth. Has the library board ever looked at doing that, a longer time limit on public computers if they're not being used?
I'll bring it back. We'll close the comment now. We're good. But I think what we'll do, we'll incorporate that comment into the plan as far as we look forward. Because it was discussed, there was a discussion as part of the staff as far as how we can look at increasing the number of hours that are used as part of the terminals that are in the branches.
But that seems to me just an operational question, not a technology
related
question.
Right, but, it was included in there, so it's something where we can look at moving forward, I guess, depending on each branch, what their policies are, and maybe, Teresa, you could look into that.
It is something we're looking at. It basically, there's a lot of factors involved with it, and we're looking at how much computers are in use by branch. I mean, we do have a city, a system-wide policy. It may be that we don't need a system-wide policy. It needs to vary by branch. There's also some, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. It's a whole other issue. If you want me to report to you on it, I can do that. But there's a lot of factors involved.
All right, thanks. Are there any other comments? Board Member Dexter?
I was interested in addition to the focus group and interviews that were done, I was also interested in the survey results. And one of the things that I thought was interesting that and a little discouraging was that it says half of those responding to the survey weren't aware of the electronic resources. And you know the system is really investing a lot in this. These are wonderful resources. And I really think we have a real challenge here to get to do more to make this.
You're right. Every library faces this. It comes up every conference, and we are looking at. I'm pointing to Janice again. We're examining some responsibilities, and particularly in light of getting an IT manager, it changes what Emily does, and so Janice is our marketing queen, and. This is definitely something that they're looking at in different ways to.
And we're increasing the classes that the records team does, and they're just there's more of them and more people.
And maybe with a web redesign, I think it's using them. I mean, it's a little hard to find them.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And
it
to
is.
Figure
it
out
is.
What is really available to you, and so hopefully with the web redesign, I mean, we really will have a virtual branch.
Yeah, and we need to do some targeted marketing. You know, the fact that we have auto repair online, you know,
right.
We need to get to the people who might be interested in that.
Board Member Burt?
I have two things. I totally agree that our electronic services, our databases are really underused, and that's going to be a real challenge. I imagine you're looking to other library systems that have success, and I was just thinking the San Jose Public Library website is so intuitive. I feel like you go to that website and you just know right where you see databases, and it's a very clean, streamlined website that I hope when the redesigning is going on that they take a look at. But my question about the migration timing. So in your experience, because I think you've done this before, and now we're on Evergreen, so we're rid of the horrid thing we had before that. So I'm seeing a completion by February 2014. Could it be sooner, or could different parts of it come online at different times?
No, it'll. When we come up, we'll come up.
Okay.
Can it be sooner?
I'm just curious.
Yeah, maybe we might be able to cut it by a few weeks. What happens now is we open the RFPs on July 3rd, staff evaluates them, we invite probably three vendors to demos the first week of August, and then we basically decide which one we want. Our consultant will go into contract negotiations with them. I doubt I will be able to have a contract to bring to you in September. I might be far enough along where you might be willing to give me the authority based on what I can show you then to sign before the October meeting. That's where we could pick up a couple, a few weeks. If we have to wait for the October meeting for the actual approval of the contract before we can get underway, then you're talking about migrating the data, which will take a couple of months. You're talking about installing and training everybody, and that's another couple of months. So. It depends on how easy it is to get our data out, which we don't know yet. Until it should be okay, but that's one place where it can get complicated and you can lose some time. And the other part is on the contract. So I'm hoping to come back to you in July. We won't even have opened the project yet. So proposals, but I'll hopefully come back to you in September with some really concrete information, and maybe we can pick up some time then.
Councilmember Matthews?
Another thing that I had jotted down was going out to the public just about all these changes, facilities last month and IT this month. It's a very exciting time. I happened to go on Saturday to the annual meeting of the League of Women Voters, and one of the subjects that they wanted to have a program on this coming year was the libraries. And we didn't know that much about all the exciting things we're doing. I said, that is a great subject. Well, seriously, and you know, and obviously, and there's an election at some point along in the future. So it does seem to me that this is a great time to go out and tell our story to civic groups, community groups, and pick your month. I mean, it's all good. But just get out there and publicize it. She was very interested, and I'm going to give her your info. And I said, I don't need to be the person doing it, but you should have a program on this topic. So that would just be my suggestion. We have adopted the facilities master, we've accepted it. We're going to do that here. Our financing's in good shape. That is just a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
I would move that we accept the plan.
Vice Mayor Reed makes a motion to accept the plan. Is
there a second?
Second by Supervisor Friend. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. And before we conclude this, I was hoping maybe the IT director, Chris Daffis, just if you can wave just to those people that...
Oh, sure. I'm Chris Daffis. I've been with the city for about 2 years now. I think I met you when I first came aboard. And it's been a pleasure working through this plan with the library. They've been very cooperative, and I think this is the start of a really good relationship.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the resolution to adopt the reserve and surplus policies.
I think you're all familiar with this, and basically it's a two recommending changing the 5% current 10% goal to a two-month reserve, and then establishing a library operating fund surplus policy, which really wouldn't kick in until the end of next fiscal year, and then it's based on three positive fiscal years of how to spend the money. The wording in the resolutions and in the final recommendations that Marcus has provided is basically GASB language. That's why it's unintelligible. But that's basically what we're doing, and I think it was talked about at the financial retreat, and it was talked about at the finance committee. So it's basically just formally taking the action, because GASB requires the board to take formal action to establish. Well, we have a 5% fund already established, so to change that to the two-month, and then the other surplus policy to be used in the future. So that's basically what you're approving.
Thank you. Maybe before we have discussion, open it up to the public. Is there anyone, members of the public, who'd like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Any questions or discussion?
Pop quiz.
Yeah.
GASB stands for
General Accounting Standards Board.
Thank you. Beat me to it.
What up, GASB?
Yes. That's Government Accounting Standards Board.
That's what he said.
GASB is Financial Accounting Standards Board.
Right. Thank you. Okay. All right. Any questions or comments or trivia?
It's a step in the right direction. I think if we look at the chart of other library systems in other cities, we're still at the low end of the scale, even at 16%. So I won't support this, but we should bear that in mind.
There's two resolutions that need approving, so I don't know if you want to do them together or separately.
Well,
one quick question before I make a motion on it, which is just a point of clarification. There is, and I didn't fully get this maybe from the report, there is a lot of flexibility, though, that's built into it. I just wanted to, because he provided some arcane examples of possibilities of a large tax, and so it would be helpful to understand, at least for the minutes, that the intent of the board is to allow for flexibility in accessing them if needed.
Yes. And this is, as we discussed, the retreat is more of a framework.
That's right.
Not
all of us are so.
Yeah. So do we can.
I'll be happy to make the motion to make the chair happy.
Thank you.
Yeah. please have that reflected in the minutes.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Friend, second by Supervisor McPherson. And this is the recommendation to replace the 5% operating reserve and future 10% reserve with a system-wide stabilization agreement and at a two-month funded level and adopt the library operating fund surplus policy.
So it's both resolutions?
Both, yeah.
Okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. So moving on, we have our next item is the resolution to adopt the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget, which appears on pages 78 and 85 of this agenda.
Basically, I gave a quick review of 2012-13. Like I said before, I couldn't put in everything we've done. We're trying to do partnerships and everything is just overwhelming. But so my comment is we need to find a way to tell our story better. I'm actually looking at getting some professional help to help craft some sort of an annual report because I don't know how to take all this and make it into a document that sells.
And break it into little bitty pieces.
And how to proceed from there. I think it's a great budget. I think that we're really in balance with those areas I talked about in terms of collection staff, technology facilities. We've got the two-month reserve accounted for in here, and the only thing that's not in here, as you heard earlier, is the results of labor negotiations, but I think we're in good shape to handle whatever comes at us with that. And about it. Any questions?
Questions? Well, put it, is there a member of the public who'd like to speak to this item first before we discuss the floor? Bring it back.
And I was reading the increase in what we're spending on collections. I guess the lowest point.
The low was 465.
And what percentage of budget?
3%.
It was
slightly low.
And it looks like it's been up quite a bit higher. Anyway, my question is this. What's the sweet spot for libraries? And the reason I ask is that at some point in the past, and I'm guessing it was before the dot-com bust, we spent 1 year a whole lot, and then I actually had library staff coming to me, and I don't know what the secret agenda was, but they said, we're spending way too much on collections. We're getting rid of this stuff faster than we know what to do. I mean,
whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what the agenda was on that. So that was my question. One, what's considered healthy but not extravagant? And then I'm just curious, how much gets retired annually? So let's say you're spending 8% of your budget. What percentage of your collection are you replacing? And I don't need exact numbers. I'm just curious.
Well, the first one I can answer is when we were in the task force looking at this, our goal was to get us eventually to 12%. The Finance Committee asked me to look at benchmarking, and I'm going to be doing that in the next couple of months, is trying to find some other cities, giving them some options to benchmark. Do you want to benchmark on population, on budget, and so we can get some better feel for where we should be at. But 12% is what we had said we wanted to get to. 9% is respectable, but it's 12 would be better. So we're kind of looking for eventually. In terms of what we get rid of each year, I don't know. I don't know that Shelley would have an idea yet. Probably not. I really can't answer that. We can see what we can figure out. I don't know that we can get a report out of the system now to tell you.
I want. I'm just
but,
obviously things get lost and things get outdated.
We probably spend most of our money on new materials. I don't we spend on lost and replaced. Not a lot. Is not in terms of percentages.
One of the things that we spend an increased budget on now is electronic resources, which may or may not go away. It depends on the license agreement and how we store them and whether the vendor stays healthy or not. But unfortunately right now I don't have a sense of how much we are actually withdrawing from the collection on an annual basis.
At some point, it might be nice. At some point when it fits everyone's work program, not
with the new ILS, we should be able to run a report very easily and give you that number.
So we should be able to tell you how much we add every month, how much we take out every month, which ones are new versus which ones are replacements.
Yeah, and honestly, I was curious more about trends than
yeah.
to
I'm interested in the metrics that are commonly used. Is it population? Is it circulation? And I recall the time when you were spending considerably more, and I think the real concern by staff was we could not process the new items quickly enough. They were all in the forms of printed matter, and trying to spend 15% of your budget on printed matter and seeing all those books delivered to intake, we couldn't get them off the shelves. It was just, we didn't have a staff to do it.
That's why getting things shelf ready makes a big
difference. That'd be enormous. Yeah.
Big changes from when.
I don't think it was
maybe a month.
Yeah, I don't think it was staff didn't want.
Oh, no.
Addition to the collection. And it was like,
I actually heard that. I didn't know what if they wanted to raise.
We didn't have the shelf space either.
Yeah.
There was a point where we were getting so many things, and we literally did not have a place to put them in. What Mike is saying is true, that we were just running so far behind, we just didn't know. It was sort of like being on a Ferris wheel and just wanting to stop for a minute. But it wasn't that we didn't.
I just remember these great stacks of books. Yeah. Great. It was just like, it was daunting.
I remember that too. I think one of the things, though, that's still missing in some branches, and I don't visit all the branches all the time, but I know when you walk into a branch and you see a bunch of new books, and they're right there when you walk in, that's what gets you to come back to the library. And we don't have that going on in all of our branches. I mean, it looks like the Selma Beach has sort of done that with your own in-house collection, but that, I think we're not there yet. So I don't know if that's because we don't quite have the budget up enough to have that happen, but that's what brings people into the library.
That's what we're looking at with the 100,000 Lucky Day collection.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. Part of that's also physical, you know, creating that marketplace, a place where people come in and see it. I mean, it may be there, but it's hidden in this long shelf, so
we're going to have that soon.
Yes, but that's part of the, having to do that physical work.
You know, I think it's easy to kind of cover this item, we discuss it, but it also there was a lot that led up into it. I think over the last couple of years, the library staff and just the discussions at the board have led to a point where we're at a really kind of sound foundation moving forward. And I love the fact that you put in here these goals for the coming years. These are things we've talked about, but the idea of having reliable reports to develop performance indicators, to look at steps to implement the facilities master plan and establish a capital maintenance schedule, to begin implementation of technology planning, to continue developing and maintaining strong community partnerships. Those were key things we talked about as in our library board over the last couple of years. And now to see that we're moving there to implement, I think it just says a lot about the library staff and the people that are running the system about great we've come, move forward and starting to look at these really strong financial position and also based on the reports, really good strong community partnerships. So I think we all owe library staff a really round of applause for where we've gotten to now and look forward to the next year.
They're all part of it.
Supervisor Friend?
I'll move to approve the budget.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Friend made the motion. Councilmember Trinity seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Passed unanimously. Okay, moving on to item 10. This is an update on the FMP Steering Committee. This is a Facilities Master Plan Steering Committee. And I'll turn to the chairperson, Jim, Councilmember Reed, if he has to report out or if you'd like to refer.
We haven't done too terribly much other than the more we get into looking at facilities, the more we realize the questions are what are the revenues that are available to enable those facilities to take place. So we've had a preliminary meeting with Michael Zelver just to see what would be involved in construction management, how we would potentially phase out a variety of improvements with several branches being brand new construction. And at our next meeting, we're going to hear from Gene Bregman about doing a survey and finding out what the community might be willing to support on the revenue side. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a lot more to report after that.
And you also all heard him at the financial.
You received a good thumbnail of what our soft costs might be architecturally.
Yes. I've gotten estimates from, I asked Group 4 to do me a favor and tell me what would be the design costs for what we've got in there. And they did gave me some numbers, which I, of course, don't have in my head, but to do the makeovers as well as the new facilities, what it would cost to get to design if we want to use that for selling purposes. I also had, I was called by Dayton Public Library for a reference on Group 4, and it turns out they have a $187 million bond that got passed in November for 5 years for building 16 facilities.
Wow.
So after we finished with the reference, I spent about an hour on the phone with the architect contract manager that they have, and then another hour with the library director, and got a lot of really good information from both of them. And so we're gathering, I would say we're at a gathering information phase, and it'll be a little bit before it's all digested and into a recommendation.
Thank you for that report. So the next item, I was going to just let you know that we had a closed session personnel item this prior to this board meeting, and there was no action taken. So that's just the report out on the closed session. That brings us to item number 11, written communications. And typically, there's just there for reference. If any board members have any questions or comments on anything that's included in these, please.
Okay.
Councilmember Matthews.
I noticed, and then this is right to the topic we've been discovering about the electronic resources not being used as much as they might be. Someone wrote and said, was the email from Olaf Andre, I took off my library card and, you know, got into
yes.
That one. It's very nice. It's praise for the electronic databases. And what I sometimes do, secret revealed, when we get a nice letter to the city council, I write back and I say, thank you. Would you turn that into a letter to the editor? And I don't know if Janice, that's your job, or, but I mean, think of it, every time you get a great letter,
I can do that.
Of marketing.
Yes.
I agree.
I never thought about, I mean, I usually respond to people, but I never thought about asking them to add a letter to the editor. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there, and that publicizes your electronic resources.
Thank you. Great suggestion. It's a good idea.
I'll just comment. I thought it was great to see all the compliments of staff, too, that were in there, as well as I appreciate the incident log, just continuing to put that in there just as an upgrade.
Did you notice it wasn't all downtown?
Yeah. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the board meeting calendar. So I know that there was a discussion about moving the November 4th meeting to November 7th, if necessary.
The California Library Association conference this year, in all its infinite wisdom, is on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Which turns out Monday is our board meeting, and I have been asked, Diane Callen and I, who Diane's not here, are doing a presentation at the conference, and I also, as chair of the California County Librarians Association, have to run a business meeting. So I can't be here Monday, November 4th. So I think November 7th is nobody's regular council meeting.
It's a Thursday,
so that's Capitola. But it's the first Thursday, so...
I'm out of town that day anyway, so...
You're out of town.
Yeah.
So you vote for that day, Mike?
I vote for that day.
It's an absolutely perfect day.
I was just hoping there'd be no objections to moving that one. Okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Well, the problem... See, the problem with November is to move it to the 11th. That's Veterans Day. And so I thought about moving it a week out, but that's Veterans Day. And then, well, a week later, that's getting kind of crazy, and then you're into Thanksgiving. And, so. And the week before is kind of early.
Seven.
So,
okay.
Seven? Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. I don't have to
send out a note.
Fly back and forth from Long Beach.
That would be Santa Cruz.
I don't think we have. Do we have to have? I don't think we have to have a motion for that, do we? And we can just.
Okay. So the next item is just to let you know that the next meeting will be Monday, July 1st. At the Downtown Branch Library. If there's no other questions, then the meeting's adjourned.